It is. Meet me at the diner, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, actually 4:08 in the afternoon. And we are almost to the primary, folks. That's right. We have another candidate here with us. Steve Brown is with us, and, of course, he is running for county council in District 5. And, Steve Brown, how you doing today?
I am doing great.
It is good to see you.
Good to see you.
I understand that you're going to be a grandfather here
pretty soon. Just found out a few months ago, and then on Monday morning found out we're going to have a granddaughter.
Granddaughter. I guess everybody is excited.
Everybody is elated.
And of course, who are we talking about? We're talking about the one and only former Megan Brown, now Megan Brown.
Winburn,
that's right. And, of course, Megan lives down in the Columbia area. Yes, where it's in Columbia.
Right, lives out in Spring Valley.
Spring Valley. So, Megan, if you're listening, hello. How you doing out there? Congratulations. And, of course, Steve, you, of course, were our city manager for, gosh, how many years?
24 years. Worked for the city for a total of 28. I have 35 years in local government experience, a little bit more than 35 years.
And, God, after you left the city, I caught up with you one time, and you were working, was it down in Lexington?
City of Casey.
Casey, yeah.
Spent 7 months with them from July of 2010 until January of 2011. Wonderful experience. Loved it.
Yeah, you went down there as kind of an interim city manager, correct?
I did. Their city manager left on a short notice and went down, interviewed with city council. They offered me the position and fell in love with the city of Casey. Good people, good community. I wish I had been a lot younger.
Oh, well. But, you know, it's been an amazing from that standpoint. I guess that allowed you to see... to see Megan some. And what's Gavin doing?
Gavin's still in Columbia. He's still trying to find his way. Graduated from USC, has a degree in marketing, public relations, and having a little bit of difficulty finding exactly what he wants, but he's doing well. He's a good boy. Proud of him.
Absolutely. Well, you know, he has a lot of spirit.
He does.
And that's the problem, I think. He has a lot of spirit. Actually not. I like Gavin. He has a lot of good spirit. He's also a great hunter, right?
He likes
to hunt, yeah. But
plays drums and has found his way into a lot of situations in Columbia. He does well.
Well, that's good. That's good. All right. And let's see. Beverly, is she still teaching over there in 96?
Teaches at the primary school in 96. She's been teaching for 32 years.
And you've been retired, and so has role switched. Have you started making dinner or anything?
I do make dinner often.
Often
I make dinner.
Other than that, you take her out?
Or either she comes in and makes it herself. But yes, we do. I do a lot of things that I used to not do. She hasn't gotten me to the point of where I vacuum, but I do make dinner. I like to cook.
That's great. That's great. Well, you know, you are, 64. You are retired, but you keep very busy. Now, I just would like to know, you decided one day that you would like to run for county council. What made you want to run for county council? I would have thought you would have had enough of business, government business.
Well, there were a number of reasons. I had a lot of people in the business community, some people who were personal friends, who... even very close to the time that I retired, I don't know if it was tongue-in-cheek, said maybe when you retire you should think about running for some type of public office. Kind of put that to the side and didn't think much more about it. But as the time came for filing for county council, those same people and some more came and said, would you give it some thought? I waited some time to see if someone else was going to file. The main reason that I filed is because I do feel that I have a lot to offer. I do want to be a public service to Greenwood County. I worked in the city, but I'm born and raised here. I know people. I love Greenwood County, and I think I can do some good for the county. And I was somewhat disenchanted with some things that were happening on county council, some things that I had seen, some things that people had told me about. And so after no one else filed, then I decided to put my name in the hat, and I felt like that if my opponent had been in there for 18 years, then he should justify his record and before he is reelected for another term.
Sure. So you are in the primary. That'll be coming up on Tuesday. How's the response been out there in the neighborhood being Greenwood County?
I feel good. I'm not overly confident in that to the point that I have not tried to work hard and tried to get my message out to the people. But I have a lot of people who agree with me that changes need to be made on county council. I have a lot of people who have supported me in various ways and people who are getting my message out along with myself. I think the key will be not just people who tell you that they support you and will vote for you, but trying to get those people to the polls on Tuesday and making sure that they actually vote.
Sure.
You know, I would, if the margin between myself and my opponent is one vote, then I would be happy with that. I'm not looking for any kind of wide margin. I'm just, I feel like there needs to be change, and I hope the people will come out and support me, and then we can get into that position and do some things good for Greenwood County.
Absolutely. Now, Steve, of course, being a city manager for as many years as you were city manager, I've known you for a long time. Public disclosure here, I have known Steve Brown for a long time. His daughter has worked for me. But your philosophy about government, about city, you know, you were in city government, but as a manager, what did you think were some of the key issues that were important to you as you looked across your staff and running the city?
Well, certainly I have never filled the role of an elected official. I have been an appointed official. I was appointed by city council, and my responsibility was to employ professional people who would serve as department heads, and then through those department heads, we were able to hire all of the other employees and to manage those employees. My relationship with all of the mayors and the city councils in Greenwood have, in my opinion, and I think it's documented, was excellent. I'll be honest with you, there were a lot of things that I learned were very good, and I would want to repeat those. There are some things that I learned was not good, and I would not want to repeat those. So I think in every profession, I think those are the things that we learn. You know, there's not much in local government that I have not done. I was fortunate enough to be in a position where I was involved in everything that happened within the city, not only from the personnel side, from the elected official side, as far as being the liaison between the elected officials and the employees, working with the public, working with everyone in the community.
I guess, and I know your telephone rang at all hours.
There were some times that happened, but I think that is the key. You asked me what was the key, and I think it's the relationship between those of us who have served in government or are now serving in government and with the people. And I always felt like that I had, I was able to develop a good rapport with the people. I still have people who come up to me now and repeat to me stories about how they called me. They were able to get their needs met. I was able to satisfy whatever they needed. And those are the things that I'm most proud about.
You also were over the budget.
Responsible for developing the budget, and later on in my career, I was able to move the initial responsibility to the finance director, who submitted it to me, and then together we presented it to council. So I've been able to touch about anything. I believe that the county, even though it's county government and I worked in city government, my experience is very vast And I have done it all, so I think it gives me an opportunity to use that experience to help this community.
Well, it kind of puts you in a unique perspective, because not everybody has been a county or city manager, so it gives you a unique
That's
perspective.
Exactly right.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we are here at Sharp Facets Gallery. Yes, I'm Ann Eller. Yes, I'm here with Steve Brown. We are going to hear a quick word from our sponsors, and when we come back, we'll be here with Steve Brown. Hey, you got a question for him? Give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984.
Gold, gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Happy days, Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days, Thursday, Friday, happy days, Saturday.
All right, we're back here at Sharp Passes Gallery. Hey, we've got Steve Brown. This is District 5 for County Council. And, of course, there is a primary on Tuesday. Now, we had a question from George Treckold. He wants to know, actually, he's suggesting here, what will we have if the county council ends up losing a bunch of its members? And he thinks you should be administrator and a member, two for one. I don't know here, George. What do you have to say there, Steve?
Don't want to be county council member and administrator. One is enough. And right now I'm trying to be elected as a county council member. I retired as an administrator.
Now, just to go into this, though, you know, I need to know, what does Beverly feel about this? Because I know she was kind of happy when you retired there, Steve.
Beverly's supporting me 100%.
Yes.
As she always has.
Oh, I know. She would support you, but, I was hoping to get a little scuttlebutt. Are you sure? because we are facing a lot of issues right now with the county. And, of course, I know there are a lot of questions. There's been a lot of news in the newspaper about a lot of issues here. And, of course, I know that at the stump the other night, some questions came up. So I think we should just talk about some of these issues here because they are issues that are in front of everybody. I did notice in today's paper they still have not given that Freedom of Information Act on the salaries and in district expenses that they've asked for, and looks like it may be a little bit longer before any of that information comes out.
Well, I don't understand why they are refusing to provide that information. There's one or two reasons. Either there's some reason they're trying to hide something that they don't want to become public. Or the records do not exist. They did not take votes in public meetings where there were minutes recorded. It was kind of a good old boy system where they decided this among two or three on council. There's all kinds of possibilities that are there.
There's all kinds of rumors floating around too.
That's exactly right. We do know that in 2008 they decided to begin in district expense. We do know that at that time some council members, from what I can see, the only council member in 2008 that did not receive those funds was possibly Mr. Compton. I do see records of where everyone else was at least getting $200 a month. And then in years following, they started receiving larger sums of money and discontinued this according to what I have heard sometimes early in 2011. So I think it is wrong what they have done. I've taken a public position that I think it's wrong. I've even said that I think it is unlawful. The state law provides two ways by which they could address this issue. One is that if they need a salary increase for whatever reason, then they are to bring it up at a public meeting. They are to discuss it in an open meeting. They are to try to convince a majority of council members to vote for a salary increase of whatever amount. It is put in an ordinance. It takes three readings at the county. and it does not become effective until after the next election. That is the way they increase their salary. If they say that they need money to because of their expenses, then the state law is plain. It says that county council members may be reimbursed for actual expense. The only way that you can know what your actual expense is you provide a receipt. That's the way we did it in the city of Greenwood. That's the way I did it as city manager. That's the way that I required all other employees to do it. You have to produce a receipt. And if you don't have a receipt, then you're not reimbursed. They chose to do it differently. They're trying to blame it on the former county manager. When we talk about accountability by county council, the only way that you can have accountability is when county council members will tell you what they have done, the actions they have taken, and they will justify to you why they have made those decisions. We're not having that, and it's causing a lot of concern by citizens. And I think this is one of the reasons why we need change. We don't need a county council that is hiding things from us. It needs to be open. And open government produces trust by the people. It produces a relationship between the people, and people know that their elected officials are making decisions in the open. And then when they make these decisions in the open, it allows an opportunity for the citizen to challenge a public official.
Sure.
When you don't know what is going on, how can you challenge? How can you hold someone accountable? So they're making the decisions to do this. You know, my question is, are they doing this and holding off until after the June 12th primary? I don't know. I haven't spoken to them, and no one has said they are, but I think it lends itself to a lot of questions. And to me, it's blatantly wrong. If I were on county council, I would not stand for it. I would speak as loudly as I can, as long as I can, and say, folks, listen, let's tell the truth. Let's tell what's happened. Let's be out front. If we made a mistake, admit you made a mistake. If you've done something wrong, admit you've done something wrong, and let the public know what their elected officials are doing. They don't seem to want to do that, and I'm sorry that they have taken that position, but I think because of these types of actions, then I think there needs to be some change. The only way we can change county council is one member at a time.
Sure.
And so my reason for running against my opponent is not necessarily to change Mr. Moody to Mr. Brown, but to change what happens at county council. And if I am elected to this position and nothing changes in the way that county council does its business, then I don't think the people have really gained anything. So it's not just a matter of changing one person for another. It's having a person in office who has experience, who has knowledge, who will work hard, who will do their research, who will know what they're voting on, and then will communicate with the public and allow the public to provide input to them, and then make good, sound judgment in a public meeting with public discussion. That's who Steve Brown is, and that's what Steve Brown will do if he's elected.
Absolutely. Well, when we come back, we're going to be talking about some of the other issues. We've got the lake issue out there. We've got other issues to talk about. I certainly hope you are going to stay right with us right now. It is right at time for South Carolina news. So don't you go away. Stay right with us right here on WCRS 1450 AM. And don't forget, you can always listen to us on the Internet now at ANNES, A-N-N-E-S, entertainmentvision.com. News is up. We'll be back. Call us, 229-7984. That's 229-7984.
From trash to treasures along a country road, do you love classic country. Do you love to hear the old stuff that nobody plays? Well, we do on Saturday mornings, 9:30 to 12. Yes, it's From Trash to Treasures Along a Country Road. You'll be sure to hear songs you haven't heard for ages and remember all the good times you had. So tune in on Saturday mornings to Trash to Treasures Along a Country Road. I'm Ann Eller. I'll be there. How about you? On WCRS 1450 AM, 9:30 to 12, and on the internet at WLMA.net. Check it out on Saturday, 9:30 to 12, only on WCRS 1450 AM. Classic country, from trash to treasures along a country road.
Right. We're right back here at Sharp Facets Gallery on the 72 bypass. We're having a great conversation. It's good to see Steve Brown. It's been a while since I've seen Steve. He is running for county council in District 5, so there is a primary on that one coming up on Tuesday. Lots of you know Steve Brown since he was the city manager, and like you said earlier, you've had a calls and people always coming up to you saying how things were handled when you were there, and they remembered your, did they remember your cell phone number? Because you sometimes had lots of calls, and I guess that goes with the territory. But in this campaign, you have identified some issues. We've just talked about the in-district expense as far as where that goes. But another issue for you is of course the lake issue. Now it's not only about the water quality, but as far as county council has to do, it has to do with some of the boundaries, the deeded parts of the property to the lake. You want to give us your opinion on the lake property and how county council, how it relates to county council?
Well, the first thing I want to say is I believe and I will work very hard to preserve and protect that lake. It is our greatest asset. It's very important to Greenwood County, and we need to do everything we can to make sure that it is protected. I believe that we ought to the best of our ability, to comply with FERC regulations and FEMA regulations. My concern...
Hopefully, we will have had put enough money aside to take care of this.
Absolutely.
Issue.
But I do not think that we need to implement or enforce any additional regulations. I don't think we need to look for regulations to put on the lake people. And I give you one example. When FEMA came in and said you need to do a revision to your flood zone management ordinance, FEMA comes in with minimum guidelines, and they say this is the minimum that you must have in your ordinance. Instead of passing the minimum guidelines, county council at that time, my opponent was sitting on council, he voted for their ordinance. They went in and they put into the ordinance that you could not build within in a floodplain. That is not in the FEMA regulations. We hear so much about FEMA tells us this and FEMA tells us that. So they went in and they said, we will not issue a building permit for any building within the floodplain. Now, since we're coming close to an election, they have an ordinance in before them that removes that prohibition in the flood zone.
Why would they have put it in there to begin with, Steve?
I have no idea. It's my understanding the county engineer told me that that's the way he was enforcing it years before it was ever there. Maybe the county attorney recommended it. But my point is, county council never looked at that and said, what are going to be the long-term consequences? We had developers such as Grand Harbor and Stony Point and all of the big-time developers on the lake come in and say, you know, here is our plan. This is our development. Would you please review this? It is required by law. And they were reviewed. The county council put their stamp of approval and said, this meets all of our regulations. It meets all of our guidelines. Here it is. It's approved. They went out, marketed these developments on a national basis, maybe even greater than that. People came in, bought the property. And then we have people who, 3 and 4 years after buying it, 3 and 4 years after paying lakefront prices for the property, 3 or 4 years after paying lakefront taxes, come down and go to the building permit office, the engineering office, and ask the planning office, and ask for a permit. They say, oh, by the way, you can't build on that property because where you're going to build is in the floodplain. I think that is atrocious. Hopefully we're getting to the point to pull that regulation back. Then we find out, because they found this 1948 or whatever map in the basement of the courthouse that had been used sparingly. I'm told maybe Mr. Erlinger, who used to be the Ellinger, who used to be the county engineer, possibly used it some, but they found it. They took it to county council. Some staff members convinced county council that they should make this the base map for the lake. On that map, they discovered that when Greenwood County purchased property for the Lake Greenwood, that they had purchased property above the 440 line. Then they start telling these people, well, you don't own this property. You think you own it, but you don't own it. The county owns it. And it's been confusion. It's been inconsistency. It's been borderline extortion, where they have gone out and said, you're going to have to pay us this. You're going to have to do that. The inconsistency surfaces when some people have been required to pay money for properties, and now they're issuing boundary line agreements, and no one is being required. It's confusion. And my position is, I don't think they should have ever required people to pay for those properties, especially those who, for generations have owned that property. The other thing is, people are so confused, and you have to remember, even though these people cannot vote for myself or my opponent, there are people on the Lawrence County side that are being confronted with the same issues, people being told that they have to pay $35,000 to buy this property back. So we need to look at every rule, regulation, policy, whatever we have in place, and make sure that those are needed. If we don't need it, if it's something that some staff member or some other person just thought that we needed, we need to give these people as much freedom as possible to use their property as they see fit, and at the same time comply with FERC and FEMA. Now, I am glad that we have opposed some of these regulations, and I think we need to oppose anything that we can that's not good for either the property owner or for the lake. But there's some of these things we're going to have to do, but there's others that we don't. And so I think we need to take a look at all of that, study it, evaluate it, remove those that are unnecessary. And then when we decide that these are the things that we want to implement, these are the policies that we want to enforce, do it in a manner that is customer friendly, and do it in a manner that is least intrusive into those property owners' lives.
Now, Steve, you said some people have been charged and some haven't. Should you go, if you are elected and you go through and find these inconsistencies that you are referring to, what would be the remedy for those that had to pay versus those that hadn't had to pay?
You know, I really don't know. I don't know the legality of that. All I know is that some people have had to pay, and we've kind of changed policy. When I ask a question about that, I was told that the only people that have had to pay are those who have illegally filled areas of the lake bed, and they have been required to pay for that portion of the lake bed that they illegally filled. I have looked at this 1948 map. I know that there are areas where the county has required people to pay that money. I think that's a legal question, and certainly before I offered an opinion or offered a solution to that, I think there's the attorneys need to look at that and then make a recommendation back to the elected officials how to resolve that issue. But it needs to be consistent. If we're going to charge one, we need to charge everybody.
Sure,
if we're not going to charge another one, we don't need to charge. If we're not going to charge, we don't need to charge anyone. So that's my position is, let's be consistent.
Sure, because otherwise all you get is bad feelings.
That's right.
That's right. And you know, like you said, we are trying to build, and the lake is one of our primo objects here. We want to make sure that we protect it and take care of it.
Absolutely.
Now, the issue of the dam, this has been going on for a long time. I think we're getting close. We're supposed to be ending the 1 cent sales tax. I just want to go on the record here of saying that I knew once we got TJ Maxx, Michaels, and some of these other stores in here, that fund would fill up. But so that is supposed to end, I think, the end of June.
End of June.
And
we're being told, we're hearing that there's a possibility that some of the initial requirements that we were being told we would have to our improvements to be made to the dam may be avoided, and I think from what I can understand, we are going to have to do something with the fuse plug. I think the cost of that and exactly what type of work and the amount of work is yet to be determined, but I think that is pretty much agreed by everyone that there will have to be work done with the fuse plug with the emergency dam. My position on this is we ought to do everything that we know is required of us at this time. I don't think we need to try to get by either in a cheap manner or try to get out in a quick manner, and then 4 or 5 years from now we find out that there's something that maybe we should have done. So we have these monies who were approved by the people to address those issues at Lake Greenwood, at the dam. Then we need to make those improvements. There is a possibility that once at the end of June, it's according to my calculations, and I may not be on the penny, but I think I'm close. There may be $31-32 million in that capital sales tax fund. The library has been paid the portion of it. So whatever we have to do at the dam to make those improvements, there most of us agree that there's going to be a surplus. It has been suggested by some of the city and council members that that money be used to pay off debt service, debt that they have issued, the present council has. It's my position that money needs to be escrowed. It needs to be maintained and used for Lake Greenwood projects.
I understood that it was supposed to be returned. If there was an excess, it was supposed to be returned.
I don't know about that, but I do know that there are some things that would improve that lake, and one of the issues we need to look at, and some people have said FERC won't let us, and some people have said DNR won't let us, but dredging at the upper end of the lake, you have the sediment, the erosion problem where the lake bed is filling in with all of the silt and the sand and the soil, and people up there cannot use their properties 6 months out of the year because they cannot launch their boat from their properties. Don't know if that's a possibility, but it's certainly something that needs to be looked at, and I will maintain my position. If I'm elected, I will not vote to spend those monies on any project unless it is related to the preservation of Lake Greenwood.
And really, it should be an issue that's put before the public, shouldn't it?
Absolutely.
I mean,
absolutely.
That should either be by vote or
sure.
Something along that line.
Open discussion.
Yes.
Open discussion.
All right.
And there's a lot of groups, that work every month to try to maintain Lake Greenwood in a manner. Since I have filed, I have been to a couple of those meetings, been impressed with the people who are volunteering their time, their energy, their knowledge. And these are people from on the Greenwood side, on the Newberry side, and even on the Lawrence side. So, I mean, there's a lot of people who are interested and people who are willing to give of their time and their energy.
Well, it's true. It's absolutely true. This the lake has become a big issue because fresh water is at a premium.
Absolutely.
Yes, that's true. Let's see. Charles Turner, a lakeside owner, he says, wow, a politician with a reasonable plan. This is what Lake Greenwood needs, a man with vision. You go, Steve Brown.
Thank you.
You go. All right. We are here with Steve Brown. We're talking about issues in front of us here. And, of course, another issue that is important to us and maybe one we should discuss a little bit. You have come out and said that you don't believe that we need a full-time attorney on county council.
I have always worked in my career, I have always worked in not so large city governments. I have worked in, while working in those city governments, I have always been associated with the county and those people that work for the county. I'm told that probably the only four counties in the state that possibly have a full-time county attorney is maybe Horry, Charleston, Richland, and Greenville.
When you look counties.
At, right, large mm-hmm. counties. When you look at Greenwood, you have to ask yourself, why is Greenwood, with its population, with its budget, with its number of employees, with its services, why do we have a full-time county attorney? I am told that that recommendation for a full-time county attorney came from the county manager when Mr. Keir was here the first time before his retirement, and it has been maintained by not only the managers but the county council since that time. I think we can fulfill the legal needs of county council with a contracted attorney. I go back to the years when Mr. Baggett and Mr. Roper and a lot of other local attorneys provided that assistance on a contractual basis, and it appeared to me that the legal advice and the legal needs of the county was met. What I am concerned about is there's a cost of $161,000 a year to keep the full-time attorney on the payroll. The other thing that I'm concerned about is it appears to me that there's a lot of responsibilities that should have been delegated to the county manager that have been delegated to the county attorney. I'm told that he takes care of all of the communication with FERC. He does a lot of other things. I'm even told that he calculates the millage for the county. I don't think those things ought to be done by the county attorney. I think they need to be done by the manager and by the county treasurer. So I think it is a great way to save some money and at the same time place the responsibilities in the office where they need to be, and that is either in the manager's office or the county treasurer's office, and let that attorney be exactly what he should be, and that is a person who provides legal advice to the county council and to that county manager and to those department heads, and not be involved in the day-to-day operations of county government.
Okay. Now, speaking of county manager, Jim Keir is leaving. He was our county manager. He is leaving. So I guess there will be a search for a new county manager.
It's my understanding that Mr. Keir will leave the full-time interim position, and he has offered to work 3 days a week until the county is able to employ a full-time manager. I think this is one of the critical decisions that's going to be made in the next year. I would love to have the opportunity to be involved in that process. It's critical because we need a professional. We need someone who has a vision. We need someone who is going to be energetic, someone who can take county government into the future where we need to be and provide that advice. It's critical.
You know, one of the things that we're always looking for in Greenwood County is, of course, jobs. Jobs, jobs, and more jobs. That's what we're always looking for. And, of course, jobs have started coming into South Carolina. We've had some big announcements. Some of those announcements are a year or so down the road before they actually become reality. But in Greenwood County, we have seen some increases in jobs. And, of course, county council as well as city council as well as the partnership is all involved in pulling this together. What role would you like to be able to play if elected to this office, to be able to move the county forward based on somewhat your experience in being city manager?
Well, I think the county council has to be the leaders in this effort. I think it's important that county council work very closely with the partnership, with the business community, with the existing industries who are already here in Greenwood. As I mentioned earlier, South Carolina Department of Commerce tells us that the industrial projects are up 30% from where they were this time next year. So that tells me that there's a lot of interest in South Carolina. There's people who are looking for adequate water supply, adequate sewage, electrical supply, whatever, good project-ready sites. So we need to work very closely with all of our allies and make sure that we are project-ready. I think one of our needs is we do not have an industrial site that is where it needs to be. I know that the county council has been working on that effort. They've been working with the commissioners of public works. They've been working with the Metro Sewer Commission and with all of the other partners to make sure that this happens. From what I see, I think the partnership has done a good job. Since I've been retired, I've been a little away from it. But from what I read in the paper and what I see, I think they've done a good job. But I think it's very important when the breadwinner in a family does not have a job, when he lays his head down on his bed at night and he wonders if he's going to have a job when he goes to work the next day. When you talk about quality of life, it takes on a new meaning. And so it is important. And I think county council needs to understand that the manner in which they do their business is just as much a factor in who is going to locate here in Greenwood as anything else. We need good county government. We need good judgment, good actions, and we need to present our best foot forward. We don't need to be having the things going on that we have today. We don't need to be concentrating on what you're going to put in my checking account this month or where you're going to send me to some convention next month. We need to be working on the people's business, and the people's business in Greenwood is all about good government, which produces good results for the people, and jobs is what we need. We have high unemployment, and we need to work with everyone, not just those who want to come here, but those who are already here, and that small business person. And you cannot do that when you are concerned about other things that really is self-interest. And I think that's what's happening here. So I would work every way I can to strengthen that partnership with all of these different entities and these different utilities, and try to move Greenwood to the point where when somebody rings our bell and says, we're interested in looking at you, we have everything possible in place that we can shine far above all of those others in this state who are trying to entice them to come to their community. And I think county council is the leader.
Absolutely. You know, you were telling me off air about when Fuji first came here. I think that's such an interesting point. When you were city manager and the head of Fuji wanted to meet you, and you were like, why does he want to meet me?
Well, that's exactly right. Mr. Nabe was mayor at that time, and I had not been city manager very long. We got a call and said that the head of Fuji wanted to come and meet with us. I really had no idea. I remember we met with them in the professional building downtown in one of the conference rooms, and we found out that the reason he wanted to meet with us, he wanted to meet us personally, he wanted to know who we were, but he wanted to learn about not only the parcel of land that they had purchased out off of 246, but he wanted to learn about the different levels of government, who was in charge, what was their vision for this community, what were they doing to move this community to the place that we wanted it to be in 20 years. And it was very interesting. And from that point forward, I learned that an industry may not have settled on a parcel of property inside of the city, but what the city did and how the city conducted its business and our vision for this community was an important part of that puzzle. And that's what we need to do. We need to understand that we are not the entire puzzle, but each entity and each partner is a part of that puzzle. And the county council needs to do its business to the best that it can do so that their part of the puzzle becomes, is as best as it can be.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah. Well, we are here on WCRS right here in Greenwood. We're going to hold this over just a couple of minutes here. We had a couple of calls come in that I want to go ahead and share with you. Bill Lasker, who is a retired attorney, says an attorney should be a legal resource, not a catch-all position that will gradually expand into an uncontrolled office of czar. Okay, there's one comment for you. And Billy Poor, first-time voter, likes what you say. Say, why not turn the Pirelli building into a tech incubator? Has all the capability, but it is not being used.
Absolutely. I think it's atrocious that the county council bought the, I call it the textile building. That's what I've always known it years and years ago. They had all of these big plans to move county offices into that building. It's a $1 million building. They paid millions of dollars for the property. And now, other than Howard's on Main, I don't know if there's many other offices in there. I don't think there's any county offices at all in there. They found out they were going to locate the clerk of court over there and found out that the elevator wouldn't even support moving the equipment up to the other floors. They were going to have to put in a new elevator, put in a lot of other things. So it's indicative of some of the hasty, bad judgments that have been made by members of the existing city county council. And if I'm elected, those are some of the things that I hope we can do much better. And the way you do those things better is you do your homework, you study, you evaluate, you do your own research. And you cannot sit by and say, the county manager recommended it to me, the county attorney. The county council has an inherent responsibility to do their homework. And, yes, you need to listen to the county manager. You need to listen to the county attorney. You need to listen to the county engineer. But when it's all done and said, the responsibility of making good, sound decision lies within each county council member. They are elected to do so. And if they do not do their homework, then we see the results. We have a civic center which is deteriorating and falling apart. We have a textile building which is not being occupied. We have in-district expense that nobody is willing to tell us about or justify. We have all kinds of things going. We have an inconsistent lake management program. Why is this happening? Nobody is looking at the consequences of their decisions, the long-term consequences. And I hope to be elected, and I hope to do things differently than what's being done now. I don't think change is necessarily good just to change, but I think when you see that there is a way to do it better, to improve what you're doing, then I think we ought to make some changes. And the only way that we can change what is happening on county council is to change the elected official. I am giving the people of District 5 a choice, something that they have not had in years. And I believe that I can do the job for them. I believe that I will be responsive to their needs and to their calls. I think I have the ability to do them a good job. And I will promise them that if I am elected, every time that they have contact with me, I will respond to them in a prompt manner. I will be courteous, and I will do my best to get an answer to their questions. And if I can do that and make good decisions, then I think I can become a good council member.
Thank you very much, Steve Brown. Now, do you have a website or a telephone number you'd like to give out?
The website is www.stevebrownforcouncil. Could not put the county in there, but for council, that's my website.
.com?
That is.
Okay.
And my personal telephone number is 993-0861. That's my cell phone's best way to get me. My email is steve.brown@embarkmail.com. I'm there to listen to you, and I will be glad to answer anyone's questions that may desire to call me.
Absolutely. Well, Steve Brown, as always, it's a pleasure. We don't get to sit down and talk, but good luck on Tuesday.
Thank you for this opportunity. It's good seeing you again.
It's good seeing you, Steve. All right, this is WCRS right here in Greenwood. I don't know, we may have blown right through the news here, but listen to the end of the news, a word from our sponsors, and then I think living the country life. I'm going to see if I can come back for a happy hour. Don't you go away.
Goodbye, gray sky. Hello, blue.